Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Jennifer Geronimo. We're going to talk about her company and what is life enlightenment, and how can you employ those practices to your business. So if you have a question, go ahead and post a question in the chat room, or you can email me at info@applecapitalgroup, or Twitter at #applecapital, or you can go ahead and call in at 347-324-3460. Hey, Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. How are you doing today?
I'm getting there. It's kind of hot and humid in Dallas, Texas, so trying to get used to it.
Oh, my.
Well, thank you for coming on the program. I guess to begin with, tell us about yourself. Our listeners like to hear personal stories about the person versus we just read in the bio. So that makes us kind of unique. So if you give us a moment, tell us about yourself.
Yes, certainly. Let's see. I grew up on the East Coast, but now I live in Southern California, which is much better. Not a lot of snow. No snow, really. And if I want to see snow, I can go an hour away and see it. And I started my business in 2001 when I moved to California from New York. Before I moved to California, I was in the music industry for over 10 years. And
wow.
I was doing sales, marketing, and managing musicians. And the music industry in New York was fantastic, and then I moved to California, and it was not good at all. Needed to make some money to pay my rent, so I picked up a Marin Independent Journal newspaper, looking through the employment section, and there was a woman who advertised in there looking for someone to manage her as a speaker. And I was like, I've managed musicians, I can manage a speaker, so sent her my information. She started working with me, and she became my first client. And basically, a couple of weeks later, she started referring me to people and clients and friends. And then people started referring me. Before I knew it, I had a company. So it was something I really just fell into, and I feel very blessed. And that first client, her name is Jill Lublin. She's still a client of mine today. Almost 12 years later, she's still a client. We're still working together, and it's a lot of fun.
Wow. That's amazing. Kind of tell, when you moved from the music scene from, is it New York, or you said the
yeah.
East Coast? Okay, from New York, and transitioned that back to the West Coast, I would assume that the West Coast would be big in music just as well as New York.
Area. It was not really, and you know, I wasn't making the money at all that I was making in New York, so I needed to find some alternative if I were to stay in, on the West Coast. So yeah, it wasn't the same at all, because New York has, I think when people think of New York, they think of music, movies, theater, same as L.A., but L.A. is more big in, TV and movies, whereas New York more in theater and music.
Okay, wow. Okay, so now I can see, because with theater and large hotels and so forth, I mean, there's a lot, and theater, there's a lot going on for musicians.
Yeah, definitely.
There.
Okay. So many little clubs I used to get musicians in and stuff, where out in on the West Coast, there's not the same type of scene, unfortunately.
Wow. Kind of tell us about what is Life Enlightenment, your business. Kind of tell us about the spin of Life Enlightenment.
Yes, certainly. You know, after I started working with Jill and she started referring me to people, and I noticed, well, wow, I've got a company on my hands now. You know, I kind of stepped back a second and said, what are my goals? You know, why do I want to do this? I enjoy doing this, but what? It's instead of just making income, what are my long-term goals? And I learned that my long-term goals was to basically help speakers and authors get their message out, because they're making a difference in other people's lives by writing their books, by going out there and speaking. So, I figured they have something, a little nugget or a message that's going to enlighten the lives of others. So So really, and I'm very picky about what clients I take on. I really only take on clients that I feel have a message that's going to enlighten the lives of others. So that's why I came up with the name of the company.
Wow. That's amazing. When you actually look at those particular people, what do you actually look for as in clients, and what would be the ideal client for you?
What I look for in a client is a lot of things, and it kind of changes and evolves, too, you know, over the years. But really, I look for something in them that is really going to make a difference in other people's lives, and that they're not going out there just for the money, you know, but really they have a passion. They want to speak. They want to write. They want to make a difference to people, and you can tell that difference. You know, and there's ways that we can make income from speaking and writing, you know, there's lots of different ways, and I help all my clients with that. But when they come to me and that's all they're focused on, I know that's not their passion and their purpose. You know, I can really tell the difference. So I really look for that passion and that purpose for what they're going to do, because the ones that really want it and desire it and know it's their calling, they're going to make a difference. They're going to get out there. They're going to get the bookings. So that's really what I look for. And also nowadays, I also look for people that are a little bit more established. Those that come to me that really don't have a lot of experience, I normally suggest to them that they do some consulting work with me before I, you know, manage them.
And when you talk about consulting work, how can a person go out there and consult? Just how will they make themselves available and to whom?
For when I do my consulting, I do that because there's a lot of people out there who have a misconception about speaking and writing. They think that speaking, they're going to go out and they're going to speak for 45 minutes and get $10,000. That's so not the truth. And that's people come to me. I mean, every day I get calls like that. You know, I want to be a speaker. That, you know, they think it's going to be, you know, their name and lights kind of thing. And that's really not the case. You know, there's lots of different components you can add to that, like back of the room sales and books and products to make a good income. But the number of speakers that really get paid for their speaking is only around 10%. You know, so people who are really focused on that, that's not really real. So I have a consulting session with them so I can really educate them on the industry, let them know what next steps they can take to get out there to speak, or if they want to write a book, what next steps they can take. Because I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there, and I like to help debunk those for people before they get started. Because really, that way they can also see, you know, is this something I really want to do? Do I really want to invest the time and energy into this? And I can let them know what steps, you know, they would need to take to do so.
You know, it's kind of ironic. I have several musician fans who has been doing this professionally, and some will take the church route because they can always have the income and do all other things within their within a city, and they just build, you know, around that core church position. They have some who actually are professional speakers. You go do workshops throughout the country, and then some of the complaints to say, well, I'm tired of airplanes. I'm tired of never home. And I said, okay. I was telling a friend of mine, I said, well, okay, how many people have the luxury to charge several $1,000 to just talk for a day? And you're home for the weekend. Or if you're on the weekend, you know, you can kind of schedule how you want things. You can either put it at the beginning of the year, or you can do so many per month, and, you know, and you're still going to be comfortable. Go ahead.
That's something that I actually talk to new clients about, too, because it really is a thing about their personality. I have one client who loves to travel. She is on the road practically every day of the year speaking, doing her thing, and she loves it. But then I have clients, especially ones with children, who they really don't want to be out there that much. They're comfortable with doing 2-3 speaking engagements locally a month. So it's like, for me, I really look at that when a new client comes to me and, you know, want to know their lifestyle and, you know, do we want to focus on local stuff? You know, do you love to travel? You know, is that something you want to do? Because there's, you know, I do hear a lot of complaints sometimes that there is too much travel. And then, like, there's, you know, another client who just loves it. She's, you know, it's never enough for her.
Wow. Is that what some of the downsides? Because is it just the travel, or is it really, really difficult? I mean, I traveled every weekend for almost 2 years, and it wasn't really that bad. It's maybe when you become, you know, you have some weather issues throughout the year, then you get delayed or something, but you're usually always going to make it home. You might not make it the time you want, but you will make it home.
Yeah, exactly.
If I was starting out and I want to become a speaker, and you mentioned that, hey, you need to go do some consulting, say they have a little consulting behind them, and they have a little market behind them. How can you bring them to market? Because if they don't have a book or they don't have a product behind their name to help with that, what actually you would tell a person, hey, you need to write a book or you need to go out there, I need something to market you by?
You know, it does help to have something to market you by. If there's just someone who's just a consultant, and I'm not going to say just because consulting is really big, but if they, you know, because as long as they have the consulting that they can sell at speaking engagements and offer to people, that's great. They don't necessarily have to have a book or any products. That could be something that comes down the road. But at least something that you can offer people at your speaking engagements is important.
Also, what are the challenges in actually placing a person for a speaking engagement? Have you run through some issues that, hey, you thought it was going to be a great fit and then something goes wrong? Or on the other end, the speaker went there and it just crashed and burned. And because the vibe that they got from the audience, because that can make a difference. Either you can have a person that can make the energy flow or versa, you can have some people that can drain everything you got, and you know, then just put you in a different level. Any stories?
I have some. I mean, there's a lot of stories from over the years. Luckily, not too many though. You know, most of the times when I book my clients, I'm really picky about making sure it's a match for them. Most of the obstacles that a client of mine would normally come in contact with at speaking engagements, like I had one client go to a women's conference in D.C., and she's from California, so she flew all the way across the country to do this conference, and it was so poorly organized. She was so confused, didn't know where to go, and you know that sometimes happens with these big conferences, whereas it's not organized as well as it should be, and it makes it very challenging for, you know, my clients when they need to know where they need to be. And also at this particular conference too, they changed her room at the very last minute to a bigger room, so you know, it was a lot of obstacles she ran into there. And you know, there have been other things. I had another client one time in the winter, stuck at the airport all day long. She did not make her speaking engagement. And, you know, things like that come up, you know, occasionally. Not a lot, thank goodness, though.
Wow. So when they don't make their speaking engagement, they're just out of luck in one sense. Does it ever get rescheduled in the future, or they kind of hold it against them?
For that particular one, they did rebook her. I mean, there was nothing she could do. She was, the woman was, okay. The poor thing was in tears at the airport. She was just stuck there. And she really tried her hardest to get there, even tried to rebook flights and whatnot. So they were very good about rescheduling her.
Wow. Okay. Question regarding, I think when it comes to being self-employed, you have some challenges out there. Do you actually teach the person who is going to be a professional speaker, then they also need to look at other things, bookkeeping, or kind of keep aware of, or if you're going to be, you know, have a payroll or this or that, or it kind of tell us within that whole business, you know, when they decide to do this professionally and they're going to make several hundred thousand dollars a year, then it puts them in a different category. What type of advice do you normally give them? Hey, this is how you need to manage this. Because it's just easy to get a check in your hand and you go on. Is there something more to that?
Yeah, definitely. I don't do a lot of business consulting, but I do recommend for my clients that they do have an accountant, they have a lawyer. You know, we have contracts for all their events and everything. Those things are very, very important. You know, and from my own experience, also, you know, I've always made sure I've had a contract for all my clients and to keep impeccable books and things like that. And I have a great plethora of resources, too, for clients. So if they don't have any support system, I definitely have people I can refer them to.
Wow. And when it comes to, I know on your website you have, like, radio and TV show producing, lead research. Can you talk about those two areas that you you handle as well? Go ahead.
Certainly. I'll start with the radio and TV producing. I produce a TV show called Messages of Hope for my client, Jill Lublin. And I co-host two radio shows, one called Scorpion Equinox and the other called Freedom for All. And then I produce three radio shows for my client, Charmaine Hammond, Your Book as Your Business, and Pawsative Radio, which is P-A-W-S, as in paws for animals, and Conversations with Charmaine. And that's something so I find that so fun. I love producing TV and radio shows. I get to meet so many cool guests for my clients and put together lots of you know, fun interviews for them. It's just I find it so fun to do that kind of work. And I've also met some, you know, great celebrities too in booking the TV and radio shows too. So I've had a lot of fun with that. And the leads research I do because a lot of speakers don't really realize how much research they need to do to find speaking leads. And sometimes when they're just starting out, that can be very overwhelming. So I offer 25 leads that I'll prepare for them so that when they start pitching themselves to meeting planners, they've got a list they can already start from, and so it doesn't feel so overwhelming when they start out. And then later on, they can, you know, learn more about how to research and network for leads. But at least they have something to start with and go on. So I do that little piece for them just to get them going.
Wow. So when you do the leads for them, you mainly you're just going to pile the list, hey, why don't you look at these type of leads to give these people a call to see, you know, if they need a speaker for this or that. That's how usually the conversation goes. And then they call that particular entity and say, hey, do you need a my expertise is this and blah, blah, blah. How is that normally set up?
Normally what I do is I sit down with them and I say, you know, who's your target audience? What kind of audiences do you want to get in front of? Geographically, where do you want to go and speak? So I'll get some criteria for the leads before I go out and find them for them, and then I'll put the list together for them. And if they don't know how to pitch themselves, then I recommend doing a half-hour consultation with me so I can teach you how to pitch yourself. But otherwise, you know, they've got the leads and they can start pitching themselves to these meeting planners. And so, like I said, it's just a real easy way to get them started, get the ball rolling for them. And they're very specifically tailored. Like I said, they give me the criteria of where they want to go, types of groups they want to get in front of. And, you know, I'll find the contacts for them, give them names, email addresses, and that way they're ready to go.
Wow. Anything, I guess, in about your particular company or any advice that you would actually give a person who's going to be starting a business?
For starting a business in general, I love it, to be honest. I can't see any other way. I did desk job for a little bit here and there over, you know, in my previous life before starting Life Enlightenment, and it wasn't for me. It was not for me at all. So I love it. But what I would suggest to people is you have to be disciplined. You know, I've got to be here for my clients. You know, I've got to get my work done. I do have the freedom to go do yoga in the afternoon if I want or, you know, grab a bite to eat with a friend. But, you know, also you have to have the discipline, too, to know that, you know, I have to spend this time for my work even though you're self-employed. So that's probably the biggest thing I find for people. For me, it's not a challenge, but I have heard that is a challenge for some people.
Because they can't balance the freedom would get things done. Because I've seen some people, what they do, they get things done, but what happens is it takes them a whole week to get it done because
right,
other
exactly.
things distract them. And with you, with that particular focus, because you're trying to book your orders and so forth, you just have a structured time, hey, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and get it done, then go play.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know that, you know, I have my hours that I like to work, especially late in the afternoon, early evening for me is like the best time to work because a ton of phone calls and emails are coming in. And then that way I can take care of those things earlier in the day. And that works really great for me. You know, and if, you know, for instance, if I want to go make plans with a friend, I do have that way to do it. And then I can also, you know, if I'm doing that on a weekday, you know, I can always put a little work time in on a weekend, you know. So there is that fun flexibility to it.
Well, do you consider yourself a night owl? I mean, owl, or you're more of a morning person?
Oh, I'm not a morning person at all. I don't start my day honestly till the afternoon. No, I'm definitely a night owl. I get much more done at night because there's not a lot of interruptions at night, so I can like whiz through the research I want to do. If I'm preparing leads for someone, I can get that done really much faster than during the day. That's for me. That works really well.
Wow. Okay, so even with the adjustment coming from the East Coast to the West Coast, the four-hour difference, even so, it a lot of things you can get done is actually in the evening and at night.
You know, I think it's in my genes, too. What's funny is my dad is in Florida on the East Coast, and he will sometimes email me when I'm still up at like 2 a.m., and that's 5 a.m. his time, and he's always been a night owl. So I think it's also kind of maybe in my genes, so we're night owl astronomers.
Wow. But in closing, all the things that you can probably summarize and say, hey, if you're looking to become a professional speaker, in summary, this is what you need to do. You need to do this, do that, then come to me, and this is what I can you can expect to do this professionally.
Yes, certainly. I would say if you have a desire to get out there and speak, first of all, figure out what your message is. What are you going to do to make a difference for your audience? You know, what message do you have to share? What information is going to really change people's lives for you to get out there and get in front of people and speak? And secondly, I like to tell speakers to get some tools together, and I can even guide them on this too, but it's really important to have a website that's meeting planner and media friendly, meaning that you need to have your speaking topics up there, your bio, a little sample of you speaking, those things that meeting planners really look for when they're looking for a speaker. So that's really important. So the website, and then also those corresponding materials like the speaker one sheet, your bio, a speaker video, those things are really important. I can guide people on, what to do for those as well.
Okay, perfect. Well, how can I contact you?
My website is the best place, and that's life-enlightenment.com, life-enlightenment.com.
Perfect. Well, Jennifer, I really appreciate you coming on the program.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me. It's been very fun, and your program is fantastic, and I really appreciate your invitation and the great work that you do.
Great. Same here. I really appreciate it. Thanks again, Jennifer.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Right.
It's been another
Bye-bye.
It's been another production of the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. Thank you all for listening. You can download this episode on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, have a great day, and take care.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.